All right. Send greetings to y'all in the precious name of our Lord. I want us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning. We thank you for all that you do for us. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Give us wisdom as we open your word, live our lives. Father, help us to do your will and bring glory to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to read here in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. And I want to use this example of Judas and bring out the differences between repenting and lamenting. Lamenting or repenting. I think repenting is one of those things that we hear a lot of, but there's so many people have no idea of what repentance really is. Whenever we think of repentance, we see the signs or the message of repent. And I think most people, when they see that sign, it means it has nothing to do with what they think about whenever they see that word. And I want to talk about a little about that this morning, and we'll read about Judas here. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Here is Judas. He's not thinking about lamenting or repenting at this time. He's on the scheming side of sin. He's looking for an opportunity. I don't know what happened. Judas being one of the disciples of Jesus, and somewhere along the way, I would say he got offended. He got his feelings hurt. You know, we think of these disciples, Jesus handpicked his disciples. And I don't believe he picked him because he knew that he was going to be bad. He chose him as one of his 12, one of his closest advisors, his closest people. He picked him because I think that he really thought that he would have an opportunity to do what's right. We see that whenever Jesus is talking with Jesus in the garden, whenever he's before him, he calls him friend and he says, "Do you betray me with a kiss?" Giving him another opportunity to do right. Jesus doesn't pick us to do wrong. He chooses us to do right and gives us that opportunity. Somewhere along the line, Judas, like I said, he probably got offended, probably got his feelings hurt. And so he looked for an opportunity to betray the Lord. And he looked for an opportunity, or he thought of it, or he found an opportunity to actually profit by betraying the Lord. And so he made a deal with the Pharisees for 30 pieces of silver. It'd be quite a little bit of money. At that time, I don't know how much, you know, we hear of the talents or the things that people are paid, the denarius, it'd be like a day's labor. And that was just a copper piece. And here, so a piece of silver was many, many days' labor. It's a lot of money at that time. In fact, they went and bought some land with 30 pieces of silver versus just a piece of copper for a day's wages. So it was no little sum. But he was willing, for some reason, to betray the Lord for that. Like I said, I believe, my thought would be that somewhere along the line he got his feelings hurt. It's so easy for us to get discouraged, get our feeling hurt, get offended. We see that all over the world, that people get their feelings hurt and they get offended. And pretty soon they're clear, their mind is just all muddled up and they're not even thinking straight. Jesus in John was having the communion with his disciples, and Jesus offered him the communion. The disciples were talking in John chapter 13, verse 21. It says, when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, tell us who it is of whom he is speaking. He, leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, Lord, who is it? You get the scene here. The disciples are all together. And they love the Lord. They're gathered around him, having close fellowship. And then Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And they began to talk among themselves. One of us is going to betray him? Wonder who it is. So they asked, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, that is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. He told them, the one I give the bread to. I'm going to dip this morsel of bread and I'm going to give it to the one who's going to betray me. They still didn't even know who it was after he told them who it was going to be. And after the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. The others were there, and there's no indication that they said, oh, it's Judas. They didn't do that. Even after he told them who he gave the bread to, they didn't even think of him, didn't suspect him. Now, no one of these reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things we have need of for the feast, or else what he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. after he had taken communion with the Lord, he had taken the morsel. The Bible said Satan entered to him. And then it was night. That's a sad thought. He went out and it was night. Here, setting right in the presence of the light, the presence of God Himself. And he went out and it was night. Just a sobering thought. Judas one time was just as happy and just a part of being the disciples as he could be. And yet, somewhere along the way, he lost out. He fell out. Like I said, probably got offended over some little something somebody said. Saw somebody do something that he didn't like. He allowed that to grow in his heart until it came to the place where he was even willing to sell Jesus for a little bit of money. Talking about lamenting or repenting. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 1. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. And Judas was getting along pretty good until he began to actually see what he had done. Whenever he saw that Jesus was condemned and going to be put to death, the light bulb came on and he realized what he had done. You know that 30 pieces of silver that he thought was so precious? He thought was so valuable. Became the most offensive thing in the world to him. The most obnoxious thing in the world to him. To the point where he tried to even give it back. He didn't want it anymore. That which he wanted so bad, he wanted nothing to do with anymore. And then they wouldn't take it back. So he took it right into the midst of them and threw it into them. How valuable it was before, and how useless it had become, to where he would throw it away. Didn't want nothing to do with it. We talk about repentance. Most people tell us, well, that's quit doing what you're doing wrong. Well, Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, felt remorse, and returned the 30 pieces of silver Here we have someone feeling horrible for what they've done, and even trying to fix it. You know, some of us have done wrong. We feel bad about it. And not only feel bad about it, but he even went and fixed it. You know, in most cases, whenever someone feels real bad for what they've done, and they go back and try to fix what they've done, we would hold that up as a shining example of repentance. Oh, he even tried to make things right. He feels so bad for what he did. And even went and tried to make it right. Such an example of repentance is very rare today. But then we find out that it wasn't really repentance at all, even. You see, true repentance, it doesn't mean we just quit doing what we were doing that was bad. True repentance doesn't mean we feel terrible for what we've done and we're not going to do it anymore. Do you think Judas was ever going to sell Jesus again if he had another opportunity? 1,000 times over, he would never do that again. I mean, these Pharisees or these scribes or these people could have came to him and said, I need one more thing from you. This time, not 30 pieces of silver, but 30 million pieces of silver we will give you. And he wouldn't have done it for anything in the world. He already showed us what he thought of one piece of silver or 30 pieces of silver when he threw it away. Do you think 30 million more would have helped him any? He would have dumped it all and burned it all. He was never going to sell Jesus again. But yet, there was no true repentance, was there? He went out and hanged himself. He confessed, I have sinned and betrayed. I mean, can you see the depths of this lamenting? The wrong that he had done. It went to the very core of his soul. That's the degree of lamenting that we can possess. But do you know what it didn't produce? True repentance. You know, if we use that example, that if there was something you could name that you would, once you did it, you would never ever do it again, we would think we've truly repented of that, haven't we? And here we see Judas in this same situation. But it did him no good in the end. True repentance not only recognizes the wrong that we've done, but true repentance makes us turn our hearts back to the Lord. See, that's where Judas failed. He wanted rid of the sin. He wanted rid of the crime. He wanted rid of all of that. And even to the point where he wanted them to let Jesus go. He wished he had done him no harm at all. But he didn't turn back to Jesus. He didn't turn back to God. All he wanted to do was to get himself cleared. All he wanted to do was to get out of the hot water himself. And that's why it's so important whenever those words that Jesus said, except a man, if he will not deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. A lot of times we think of denying ourselves as, oh, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that and I'm going to just suffer. But that doesn't bring us to God. We've got to lose ourselves. Repentance is a paradigm shift. See, what Judas did was just doing the same old thing. He just got caught. He saw that what he did was going to cause someone else to suffer. He really didn't even get blamed for all of this by anyone else. He was the only one that really knew what he did. So he didn't wait till he got caught and then start confessing things. He saw it himself and went and tried to fix it himself. But it was still running along the same old line of himself, trying to save himself. Instead of losing himself and turning to the Lord. You see, repentance, if it doesn't turn you to the Lord, it's just lamenting. It's just feeling bad for what you've done. It's feeling bad for how miserable a failure you are. And there's no hope in that. There's no help in that. It's going out into the night. It's going out into the darkness. Repenting. Realizing what you've done. Losing yourself. And returning back to God. Going back to Christ. You see, I believe Judas had that opportunity. He tried to go fix it. But if he would have drew near to the Lord. You see, when Peter, he did a little bit the same. He denied the Lord three times. Broke his heart when he realized it. When the rooster crowed and the light came on and it dawned on him what he had done. But where did he go? He went back to the Lord. Lord, it's you I've offended. Lord, it's you I've hurt, and I want to draw near to you. See, the paradigm shift is changing. Judas never had that shift. You know, the world thinks that God is the monster. God is the mean one. God is waiting to crush you. Because you've done him wrong. But the Bible says Judas, Satan entered him. That darkness, that hopelessness, that crushing condemnation that he felt wasn't from God. It was from Satan. And he let that drive him to hopelessness. Instead of realizing that God is not the author of that. That God is the good one here. And He's waiting for us to return to Him. You know, sometimes whenever we've done somebody wrong, we build a big wall. We're not going back there. We're not going to fix it with them. We go try to fix it with the Pharisees. We go try to fix it with the scribes. You know, what would have happened if Jesus, or with Judas, when he realized what he had done, would take in that 30 pieces of silver and laid it at Jesus' feet. And he said, "This is what I've sold you for. This is what I valued you at. Oh, how wrong I was." But he went back to the people he made the bargain with and tried to fix it. He went back and took that 30 pieces of silver with the people that he had contrived with to betray the Lord with and tried to fix it with them instead of trying to fix it with Him. That's where the problem is. That's the difference between lamenting and repenting. Repenting is trying to fix it with the one we've actually hurt, not with our co-conspirators. God is so good. And all He wants is for us to return to Him. And we try to fix it so many wrong ways. We may feel bad about it to the point where I've got to fix it. But we need to remember who we need to fix it with. That's where you get true repentance, true turning back to God. He's the one we've hurt. He's the one we've offended. You don't make a deal with the devil and then try to fix it by making another deal with the devil. You turn all of that away. Fix it with the one you really need to fix it with. May the Lord add His blessings.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory.
But